Welcome, everyone. Today we have Professor Hini Basada, editor of the Routledge Handbook of Natural Resource Governance in Africa. Professor Hini Basada is non-executive director, MAFCO, Capital and Executive Director, Institute for Natural Resources and Sustainable Development, and the former research professor, Institute of African Studies at Carleton University. Hello.
Nice to join you. Thank you,
Thank you,
Jack.
Prof. To begin
Thank
with,
you,
Prof,
Ivy.
what motivates Prof to publish this book? What research gap did Prof see?
Well, thank you. Thank you for this important question, Ivy. The motivation behind the handbook really stems from the recognition that of the critical role that natural resource governance plays in shaping the future of African countries. Over the years, it has become evident that an abundance of natural resources can either be a blessing or a curse, depending on the governance structures in place. This duality in outcomes pointed to the significant gaps in research, in existing research, in my view, particularly in understanding how effective governance can transform natural resources into engines of sustainable development. The book addresses these gaps by offering a comprehensive analysis of various governance models, highlighting innovative approaches, and examining socioeconomic impacts of resource management across the continent.
Very impressive, Prof. Beyond that, what key insights do Prof want readers to take away? What key decisions did Prof make about the title and the structure?
Well, the book is structured around five major themes: the governance of natural resources for sustainable development, land and development financing, regulatory and policy impacts, socioeconomic implications, and finally, the emerging global energy transition, which is very critical, looking at the current debates taking place in Africa and elsewhere. So these themes collectively offer a broad yet in-depth exploration of governance natural resources in Africa. And a key insight I would like readers to take away is how effective governance is crucial to turning natural resources wealth into broad-based sustainable development. I believe that the structure and the title were carefully chosen to reflect the book's comprehensive approach, with the handbook format emphasizing its role as a critical resource for not just practitioners, but also scholars and policymakers.
In relation to those themes, the handbook discusses different governance types in Africa's resource sectors, right? Can Prof. Haney explain some innovative approaches and how they compare to the traditional models?
Right. Well, the handbook highlights several innovative approaches, such as the African Mining Vision, which is a continental framework on how to govern natural resources on the continent. It was put together back in 2009 by heads of states in Africa with the support of the African Union and the UN Economic Commission for Africa, which I was part of. Another is the integration of transitional governance initiatives. Publish What You Pay, EITI, there's various other transnational governance initiatives that our African governments have signed up to. So this approach is contrast with the traditional models of emphasizing regional cooperation, transparency, and the participation of local communities in decision-making process. So this is the unique aspect of the AMV, in my view. For example, the AMV seeks to transform Africa's mineral resources into catalysts for broad-based development, moving beyond just the extractive-focused models of the past, which is emphasized in many traditional models of natural resource management. Transnational governance initiatives, on the other hand, provide a framework for addressing market failures through global partnerships and local development and engagement, particularly with civil society groups and groups that are working closely with non-state actors, artisanal miners, for example, offering a more inclusive and sustainable approach compared to the traditional top-down governance models that have failed the continent.
Indeed, the linking of the natural resource governance to the sustainable development goals make this book very unique. Moreover, what are the key policy implementations?
Indeed, yes, linking natural resources to the sustainable development goals makes this book unique by framing resource management within the broader context of global development objectives. Been and parcel of the SDGs, because natural resources impact so many other SDGs. It's not something that should be looked at in silo. So the connection, I believe, underscores the importance of responsible resource use in achieving goals such as poverty eradication or environmental sustainability and economic growth. The key policy implications should include the need for governance frameworks that not only manage resources effectively, but contributes effectively to the attainment of the Global Agenda 2030, which I believe there's been not a lot of progress has been made due to the pandemic. So this is even more of an important consideration. This means prioritizing inclusive development, ensuring resource revenues are invested in social and economic infrastructure that are going to support communities that are impacted by natural resource management and resource investments, and adopting practices that mitigate environmental impacts.
Transitioning to a more nuanced perspective, the books offer a blend of realism and optimism for Africa's resource future. Can Paul Haney discuss some intentions and solutions in creating a new sustainable Africa resource narrative?
Well, creating a new sustainable African resource narrative would need to involve addressing inherent tensions between resource extraction and sustainable development. I believe the book acknowledges the challenges posed by weak institutions that plague African states, the continuing corruption, nepotism, and the so-called resource curse that are found in many resource-rich countries. However, it also highlights opportunities for change through improved governance mechanisms, adoption of good practices from successful models within and outside Africa, including countries like Botswana, for example, has been looked at as a model for many other resource-rich countries in Africa, and also regional cooperation. And I think the African cooperation mechanism has greatly improved with free access to information that's readily available. Solutions include strengthening institutional capacity and fostering transparency and accountability, and promoting policies that balance resource extraction where social consideration is important. So the blend of realism and optimism is crucial for developing a narrative that is both grounded in current realities on the ground and forward-looking in its approach to sustainability.
Great. Following that, the handbooks also highlight challenges in managing resources. Can Paul Haney share some key insights, like weak institutions and resource conflicts?
Right. Well, one of the key obstacles highlighted in the handbook is the prevalence of weak institutions, which often lack the capacity to enforce regulations, manage resource revenues effectively, and prevent corruption. So this weaknesses can lead to resource conflicts, as you've seen in resource-rich countries like Liberia and Sierra Leone, as competing groups vie for control over valuable resources. Additionally, the book discusses the Dutch disease phenomenon, where resource-rich countries suffer from economic imbalances that hinder diversification and long-term development. There's been a greater reliance and over-reliance on the resource sector at the expense of other sectors of the economy, which is detrimental to the long-term economic growth of resource-rich countries, I believe. And addressing these challenges requires a multifaceted approach, including strengthening governance frameworks, building institutional capacity, and promoting transparency and accountability in resource management.
In light of these challenges, or what were some of the most significant research discoveries about the socioeconomic impacts of resource management in different African communities?
Well, the research presented in the handbook reveals that while natural resources have the potential to drive economic growth, their impacts on local communities vary significantly depending on the governance practices found in those localities. In some cases, resource extraction has led to economic benefits such as employment generation or the setting up of secondary industries that are dependent on the resource sector. And infrastructure developments, key roles in, that are important for trade, for trading of goods that are beyond just the extractive sector. But however, in many other cases, the lack of effective governance has resulted in negative outcomes, including environmental degradation, conflicts, inequality. So the book emphasizes the need for community involvement in resource management decisions. Such principles such as the free prior informed consent protocols, FPIC, has been highlighted in the handbook as an innovative tool to enhance the involvement of communities in decision-making process around resource usage. And the importance of policies such that ensure equitable distribution of resource revenues to mitigate this adverse effects. For example, in countries like Sierra Leone, we looked at the diamond communities and the funds that are important for economic diversification that many companies have to pay directly to the communities to set up other forms of economic activities that are important to drive transformational change. So those sort of things that are important to highlight as key examples.
Furthermore, how does the book address trends like South-South cooperation and the global energy transition? How does this relate to Africa's governance?
While the book addresses South-South cooperation as a critical trend that offers new opportunities for African countries to collaborate within the continent, through the African Continental Free Trade Agreement that has recently been passed to promote intra-Africa trade, including trade on resources, and also emerging economies in the global south on resource governance, particularly with countries such as the BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and other emerging economies. So this cooperation can lead to the sharing of good practices, technology transfer, and joint ventures that promote sustainable development, which is key to transforming the sector. The global energy transition is another significant trend discussed in the handbook, particularly in the context of Africa's potential to lead in renewable energy development. The book explores how African countries can leverage this abundant renewable energy resource to diversify their economies and reduce dependence on fossil fuels while contributing to global climate goals. So these trends are closely related to governance as they require robust frameworks to ensure that cooperation and energy projects are managed sustainably and equitably.
As we consider the interdisciplinary nature of this book, what key considerations did Pohini have in making the handbook accessible for academics, policymakers, and practitioners?
Well, in making the handbook accessible to a diverse audience, we focus on key several key considerations. Firstly, the language used throughout the book is clear, straightforward, avoiding overly technical jargon that might hinder accessibility while still providing in-depth analysis. Secondly, the structure of the book is designed to allow readers to easily navigate through different sections, whether they are looking for specific information or a comprehensive overview of the topic. Thirdly, we include a range of case studies and real-world examples to illustrate the practical implications of the theories and concepts discussed, and backing up with real-world examples. And lastly, the handbook draws on contributions from a diverse group of scholars and practitioners, ensuring that it reflects a wide range of perspectives from both the global south and north, from corporations, the private sector, civil society, academia, and governments, and is also relevant to various stakeholders outside the resource sector.
That's very important. But looking ahead, what new research directions does Prahini see from this handbook? How important are monitoring and evaluation frameworks for sustainable resource management?
Well, the handbook offers up several new research directions, particularly in the areas of regional cooperation, the impacts of emerging global trends on resource governance, moving beyond an energy transition, and the role of non-state actors in shaping governance outcomes. The role of the importance and the contribution of civil society here. Future research could explore long-term effects of governance reforms on resource-rich countries, the role of technology, AI, for example, in enhancing transparency and accountability, and the intersection of resource management with issues such as human rights and social justice issues, which are critically important. Monitoring and evaluation frameworks are crucial for sustainable resource management, as they provide the tools needed to access effectiveness of resource governance practices while identifying areas of improvement and also ensuring resources are managed in a way that benefits all stakeholders. I believe the handbook emphasizes a need for a robust monitoring evaluation systems that are tailored to specific context of African countries, both in terms of state fragility, conflict, post-conflict, and stable states in Africa, and also are capable of adapting to changing circumstances. Often at times, the political situation is quite fluid in some of these resource-rich African countries.
Thank you so much for the opportunity for me to contribute one of the chapters on relevant to the monitoring evaluation focus on the blue economy. On a more personal note, can Prahini share any interesting stories from the process of editing of this book?
Thank you for that, Ivy. Well, one of the most interesting aspects of editing this book was the contribution and the collaboration with various contributors from around the globe, including yourself. So the diversity of perspectives brought a richness to the discussions, which I greatly valued and learned from, which were not anticipated. For example, working on the chapters related to land governance, we encountered vast different views on the role of the foreign investors and foreign investments in Africa, leading to some intense but productive debates among contributors. Another memorable moment working on the book was the process of gathering and synthesizing case studies from different regions, which highlighted both the common challenges and the unique opportunities present in various African countries. This collaborative effort not only enriched the content of the book, I think, in my view, but also provided valuable insights into the complexities of natural resource governance in Africa.
Finally, moving forward, what are Koheni's hope for sharing the book's findings to influence discussions on sustainable resource management in Africa and beyond?
Well, my hope is that this book will serve as a catalyst for informed discussions on sustainable resource management in Africa and on the global stage. By providing a comprehensive analysis of governance models, challenges, and opportunities, I think the book aims to influence policymakers, practitioners, academics, on how to rethink how natural resources should be managed, and how they're managed, and what are the changes that are needed. So I hope that it encourages the adoption of more inclusive, transparent, and sustainable practices that can help transform natural resource wealth into long-term development gains, which are very badly needed on the continent. Ultimately, I believe that the insights and recommendations presented in this handbook can contribute to building a more equitable and sustainable future for Africa and beyond.
I will hand over to Jack for the closing.
Thank you so much for your time, Professor. I know that I learned a lot of great things. I'm sure our audience will too. You give us a lot of good insights and a lot of things to think about. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.